Hello, everybody. I hope you enjoyed your food. Now we have Kai Blien from the Samba team here to talk to you about DNS and Samba 4. Enjoy it.
OK, welcome, everybody. Let me just start off with announcing that this is going to be a first for me. I've demoed a couple of things using small embedded systems that run Linux Active Directory, or sorry, Samba Active Directory controllers. And all the time I've demoed those, I have had a single embedded system where I had provisioned the domain controller, and I was firing off a couple of virtual machines to connect to that domain controller. But I mean, everybody has seen that, and it's not related to DNS, so it's boring. Instead, this time, I'm going to try something new, which is I'm again running on a small embedded box, so this is going to be my server for today. This is a small Raspberry Pi. I mainly am using it because I finally broke down and bought it last week. And I will be using that to demo the DNS service. And because it's actual hardware, I need to install a new disk for the different setup because we don't want to wait until the provision has passed. That box provisions in around 6 minutes, so it's not too bad, but also for a presentation, it's kind of annoying. So this is my image for the internal DNS server. The bind server image is currently on there. So let's see how that works out. And let's get started with the whole thing. So just as an outline, what I'm going to cover today, you probably figured, I'm going to talk about the hardware used. I already talked a bit about it. I'm going to talk about the software I'm going to talk about. I will cover the common configuration things that you need to do if you want to get Samba 4 set up with a DNS server that's working. I will give a couple of debugging nodes for what to do when things go wrong, because probably they will. And I'm going to talk a bit about tools you can use to configure the DNS server once you've set it up. And then, depending on how the time works, we'll do a small demo, trying it out so I can prove that it's actually working and I'm not just sitting here pretending things. And last but not least, I'll go a bit into further developments for Samba and DNS. Okay, so let's get started with myself. I'm really doing this for fun. My training is in computational biology. I'm currently getting a PhD in microbiology. So my daily job is far away from these small embedded things. I'm doing heavy genome mining, so loads of number crunching and really big machines. And I really enjoy having a machine that I can just start up and have to look at LEDs to figure out if it's running or not. It's a nice change from my day job. I'm lucky enough to be an open source developer at work and in my hobby, so that's really nice. I've been a Samba team member for quite some years now. I'd have to count back, I think, 2007. And I'm also the guy who wrote the internal DNS server for Samba, because when I started the whole thing, setting up bind to work with Samba 4 DNS was really, really a pain. So at one point, I remember, we took one of the Samba 3 developers and gave him Samba 4, say, OK, check out the source code, build it, and provision a Samba 4 DNS server. And we just watched them go through the whole thing. So Samba 4, for quite a while, had a different build system than Samba 3. So that was the first little challenge. But what really, really took the largest part of the time was, in the end, getting bind to do DNS from the Active Directory, because that was incredibly painful at the time. I think we were using a SUSE Linux, and just figuring out where you have to stick your configuration on SUSE Linux did take us, I don't know, 15 minutes until we had it working over bind restarts. So at some point, when we were at the Microsoft AD Plugfest in Redmond, we figured out that everybody who wanted to get Samba 4 with DNS running needed to have Andrew Trigil sitting next to him, walking him through the steps. And I figured, if we eventually want to release Samba 4, we can't just clone Trig and sit him next to everybody who wants to install a Samba 4 system. That just, biology isn't quite there yet. I mean, I work in the lab. I know what I'm talking about. It's a bit tricky. So I figured the easier solution was to just make DNS easier. And because the goal of this Plugfest was getting WinBind to work better with Active Directory, and I won having a look at the WinBind protocol, and the WinBind protocol really is nice, I decided to run away from that and instead write a DNS server, which turned out to be much more fun and is actually much easier than dealing with the WinBind protocol. Now, there's a couple of ways to actually do DNS with Active Directory. I'm going to cover the two main avenues, I would say. So basically, internal DNS server, because that's what comes out right out of the box if you just provision and hit enter all the time, apart from the password, I guess. And bind 9 in a recent version, so 9.8 or 9.9, which then has a plugin that will also look into the Active Directory thing. For bind 9.7, there was a hackish solution, but as I said, you need Tridge to get that to work. And he's not here, so I'm not presenting that. Also, really use the newer bind. Now, the hardware, as I'm saying, for my demo is 45 grams of raw computing power, so it's a tad slow. So building Samba 4 on the machine took me like half a day. I didn't check exactly, I just started in the morning, checked over noon and it was still compiling, and sometime in the evening and looked like it was done. Make install, because it conveniently relinks all your binaries and libraries to make sure that the R path works out, takes about an hour on the system. So you don't want to run too powerful applications on it, but I think once you're provisioned and once the binary packages are built and all of that, I think it's a pretty decent system to run a small Active Directory network. I'm not running it in production, but it looks pretty reasonable. And I've been running similar spec systems for quite a while now, so I know it's okay in theory. What bit me most with other embedded systems actually was the network drivers, and this, I haven't been able to run a lot of data over the network port yet. Let's see how that works out. But I think in principle, it's a good approach at hardware. I mean, it's really dirt cheap. It was like, I don't know, 40 euros to buy it, including the case and a USB cable. So really, really cheap. And it's easy to imagine that you actually built this into something else. So maybe, I don't know, DSL modem or something like that, that you can actually run Active Directory with all the bells and whistles that you want to use in a small office on a machine like this. So let's talk about the software. I'm partial to Arch Linux for ARM systems. I mean, Arch Linux is basically Gentoo, but without having to watch your compiler, because somebody else compiles the system, but it's also a running release distribution, which is good because you always get the new packages, which is bad because you always get the new packages. For embedded systems, I think it's really nice because for a lot of these small things, you really want recent versions of the kernel and a couple of related libraries. So usually with a rolling release distro, you're doing pretty fine. And obviously, oh great, obviously on a small system like that, you don't really want to compile anything. Okay, less talking on one slide, like that. So, as I said, it's the ARM port of Arch Linux, it's pretty vanilla. It supports ARM v5, which is nice because I have a couple of old v5 systems at home that many other distros dropped recently, to ARM v7, which is like the latest, greatest thing a lot of people have on their phones. The Raspberry Pi is an ARM v6, so it's in the middle. It's pretty lightweight. You will see that there's hardly any running daemons other than the ones that I started. And it has a very active community, even in the embedded part. So I think for the Raspberry Pi, it's second only to the Raspbian community. And the Raspbian community are a lot of people who don't care about the operating system but want to build gadgets, which is nice, but not what I'm looking at. Now, the current release of Samba is 4.05. Funny, I couldn't imagine saying that half a year ago. Oh, well, a year ago. It's a great Active Directory domain controller, and it scales like crazy, as you can see in this talk and other talks. So I'm I'm at the micro side of things, but it, of course, will scale up to really, really huge systems. And I really enjoy the fact that I can just pull the same sources, build it, and it just works. So no special magic required here. Bind 9 in the current release is, actually there's a typo. It's 9.9.2, sorry. Patch level 1, it's probably the biggest and widest deployed DNS server that's out there. And it's a bit fiddly to configure. So, I mean, it's not like it comes with batteries included. You just start it up and it just magically works, especially not for Active Directory. Now, I'm not going to talk about DNS mask, Power DNS, or Bind 10. Well, actually, I'm lying. I'm going to talk a bit about Bind 10, but later. Mostly because DNS mask and Power DNS don't have any good way of hooking into them. Well, Power DNS has. DNS mask has no way of hooking into it to provide the Active Directory data into the DNS mask. I actually looked at DNS mask before writing my own DNS server. Now, let's have a look at what you have to do to get the internal DNS server up and running. Probably you all already did this, because all you need to do is you need to run configure, make install, and do the provision. And that's it. And that basically was the stated goal of the internal server. If you don't want to care about DNS, the goal was just get it to work. And I think we've succeeded reasonably. There's a couple of bumps. If you have to basically re-implement something as big as Bind, you're not quite in the same mess as trying to re-implement the Windows networking stack, but it's still quite a bit of features that people have come to expect that still are missing, and there's probably a couple of bugs also hidden there. So, I mean, there's a couple of known bugs that we'll have to look at. Biggest limitations, I would say, of using the internal server is it, for a larger network, it has no caching resolver, so you're going to hit the forwarder every time you ask for something outside, which for a larger site might be an issue. There's currently a bug with MX records. That's a bit tricky to figure out, because while fixing the bug, we probably found a bug in Piddle Python code generation or something. I don't know. The tests are mysteriously failing, and if you run like plain old network capturing against the actual daemon running, so if it's just the C code involved, everything is fine. But in the test with Python, it's breaking in odd ways. So hopefully we can figure that one out, because it's been annoying. I've had the patch out for quite a while, but I can't figure out why the tests are failing. And there seems to be a problem with tsig DDNS registrations for not registering the name for the first time, but then when your IP address changes, apparently it doesn't work. I'm not quite sure what the exact setup is, because I tried that as well and it works for me, but I wasn't able to spend too much time on trying to replicate the bug report. Unfortunately, as I found out, getting a PhD actually is a lot of work, so I don't have that much time playing with Samba, apart from conferences like this. Now, getting started with Bind these days actually is pretty similar. So when I started, as I said, the version of Bind you would find was 9.7, and things were really, really painful there. It's improved a lot. So basically, you just build Samba, you provision. In the provision, there is a question that will ask you which DNS implementation to take. Instead of just hitting Enter, you have to say Bind 9 DLZ, and that will give you Bind. And then, of course, you have to make sure that Bind works the way it should work. So I would suggest starting out with figuring out if Bind is compiled the right way. So if you do named minus capital V, what you want to look for is the options with DL open and with GSS API. Those are the two important options you need. DL open, you need to provide Active Directory hookup at all. And GSS API, you need because you usually want to do encrypted or at least signed updates. Now, if the version doesn't say 9.8 or 9.9, you also want to recompile Bind in a version that does say 9.8 or 9.9. Then you have to add the Samba-generated name configuration file to your name configuration file. Because that differs from distro to distro, as I've learned, I'll leave it as an exercise to the reader to figure out where your nameconf file is located. Then you have to set up the correct version of the DLZ module, because Bind unfortunately changed the way these modules work between 9.8 and 9.9. So the ABI changed, and we have to provide two sets of the module. We just compile both of them, because they're really small. So it's just a matter of providing the right path for the module. And they're all in the configuration file. So you just have to, if you're running 9.9, you have to set a comment and erase a comment. So it's really, really easy. And then if you want signed DDNS updates, you also have to set up the keytab file, which Samba also generates for you during provision. So it's way less painful than it used to be. Now, one limitation I'd like to point out is actually not, it's not our fault, but people sort of expect that if they hook up Bind with Active Directory, they get to configure all their Bind options via Active Directory, and that, of course, is not true. So we have a pretty popular bug in our Bugzilla that complains that we allow zone transfers of Active Directory zones, which arguably is not the nicest thing from a security perspective, but at the point where Bind actually asks the Active Directory module for data, we can't take the decision if we want to do the replication anymore or not, because Bind does that at a higher level. And the proper way to fix it is just say, allow replication, none, in your configuration file, just like you used to do before. But it gives you two places where your information is stored. So basically you have zone information for Active Directory in the Active Directory, and then you have configuration options that are stored in the Bind configuration file. So it's a bit confusing, I have to admit. And debugging can be a bit tricky because there's a couple of layers that happen here. So let me just explain this. So we do a nice little trick to get access to the Active Directory parts that concern DNS. So what we don't want to do is to give Bind full access to your SAM database, because there's passwords in there and all sorts of things. And you probably don't want to have a software like Bind have that, because Bind does have its share of security issues. And you probably don't want to have that have full access to your SAM database on your Active Directory domain controller. It has to run on the same machine, so you can't do other tricks there. So what we're doing is basically creating a subset of our SAM database that only has the DNS records, and we're hard linking that into a directory that the Bind server is allowed to access. But if you play around with that too much, it's easy to break the hard link. And when that happens, changes you do via other tools, I will get into that in a minute, to the Active Directory won't be reflected in Bind. Or the other way around, if you use NSUpdate to do DNS-based updates to Bind, Bind will happily store that away, but your Active Directory will never know anything about that. So, and when things like that happen, it's pretty hard to figure out what exactly is going wrong until you do an ls minus I and look at inode numbers and figure out, oh, they're different. Talked along again. So the nice part about Bind is that apart from the Active Directory parts, you're running a pretty normal Bind, so you can do other zones doing other DNS things. And of course, Bind has a lot of features that might be interesting to you if you have a large domain, if you want to do DNSSEC with other things. So it's a good server, and you can link it up, but there's some problems, especially if you run into problems. So the most common thing that actually happens to me all the time I set up test machines is I forget that line in my resolveconf, because we're not fixing that magically for you in the install. Mainly because these days it's very hard to tell if you can actually touch that file and your changes will stick or not, because Network Manager also likes to play with it, and then there's a couple of resolver libraries that also grab the file. So it's really annoying. But in the end, what you need to do to make the whole thing work is, once you're running your own DNS server on the machine, point all the name resolution to that machine. So I keep forgetting that. It's a nice first thing to check, especially if you figure out you can't get Kerberos tickets, because then usually you don't have a link to your Active Directory. Now, for the case that you notice records that supposedly should be in your DNS are not in your DNS, there's this nice upgrade DNS script that will recreate the hard links for you correctly, which is great. It will also rewrite the named configuration file that you include, which, if you're running bind 9.9 and need to switch the commented out line, is not so great, because that's an easy thing to miss. Fortunately, it's very easy to debug, because bind just crashes because it finds a file with the wrong API and just breaks. It's very easy to find. Much, much better than records getting out of sync. So if you're not sure what's going on, this is a good first try with bind. And one thing that's also proved to be very, very helpful is Samba has basically two interfaces to go into DNS, just like Microsoft Active Directory. People easily get confused, but if you use Dig or another DNS lookup tool that actually talks DNS to the DNS server, you're talking to the DNS side of things. And then there's the Active Directory side of things, which confusingly is using a DCE RPC server that's called DNS server, but looks at the Active Directory side of things. So every time you touch Active Directory entries for DNS using Samba tool, you're never, ever talking to the DNS server. So if you do something with Samba tool and things don't work, it's not the DNS server that's the problem, it's somewhere else. Possibly because your database files are not hard-linked anymore. So just checking for consistency using both the DNS side and the Active Directory side has proved to be a very valuable tool in debugging all sorts of funny issues with DNS. Now, I already touched on that. So there's a couple of tools that I would consider for playing with the DNS setup. So Samba tool is the one you most likely will use, because you can just run that on the same system and you don't have to bother with making sure that NS update actually does what it's supposed to do. You don't have to worry about the key tabs and everything like that. You can just, this is a command line tool provided by Samba, and it will just take usual parameters, so minus capital U for the username, you provide the password, it will just work. It talks to the server, as I said, using the DCE RPC DNS server pipe. So you're not relying on the DNS server running. So if you run the bind thing, it doesn't matter if bind is up or not. If you run the internal server and your Samba daemon is running, the DNS server is up, so you don't have to worry about that. Oh yeah, one caveat I should mention, I just thinking about that one. If DNS, especially the internal server, does not come up at all, you're probably running a version of Network Manager that thinks it's a bright idea to run DNS mask to cache your DNS requests. That tends to be a bit hard to get rid of sometimes. My usual approach is to just brute force uninstall DNS mask, but supposedly there's some magic incantation you need to put into your Network Manager configuration to also get rid of Network Manager. Even if your internal server doesn't come up and you want to check if there's something funny going on with your DNS records, you can use Samba tool and query that. Works just fine. The interface is still a bit rough, I would say, especially on records that aren't used too much. So one thing I will touch on in the demo, because it's nice for demos, is I will set a text record using Samba tool DNS. And then I will look at the text record using another tool, and then we'll figure out what funny things are going on there. Interestingly, so we'll have to talk about this, Amitei. Amitei is the guy who really knows all the insides of the bind module. We'll have to talk about this because it works differently against the internal server and bind. So funny things are going on. I just noticed yesterday while doing the demo. Now, NSUpdate is the tool that comes with bind. It's a command line interface. But if you've dealt with bind, you probably have dealt with NSUpdate at some point. It talks the DNS protocol, which means a couple of changes are not possible. There's no way over the DNS protocol to add or delete a zone. You can add records to a zone and delete records from a zone. But if, for example, you start up and you realize you don't have a reverse lookup zone yet because that's not set up by default, you can't add it with NSUpdate because the DNS protocol always requires a zone for updates. So you can't do all the changes you want to do. Actually, scratch the yet, because you won't ever be able to do that. And then, of course, there's a graphical interface you can use, because there's the DCE RPC pipe Microsoft conveniently calls DNS server, and they're using that to configure their own name server. And because we're implementing the same interface, it just works out of the box. It's actually a pretty nice way to administer your DNS service. It's the most complete tool and probably offers a bunch of settings, especially for setting up your name server, that are not supported because we can't tell bind anything apart from writing into the nameconf file. And the internal server doesn't support it yet because our focus was in getting packets in and out and actually making sure that people can resolve names and other things like that. It's probably something worth looking into for the internal server. You do need Windows to run, but then again, I guess if you're running an Active Directory, you probably have a couple of Windows machines around anyway. So let's try it out, and let me prove that I'm not actually making this up as I go, but it actually works. So let's give it a couple of seconds to boot while I switch screens. So I hope this is large enough for everybody to be able to read it. So okay, we are up. Oh yeah, right. Okay, so this is my bind 9 box, and there's a couple of things running, but nothing really, really big. So most of the things are kernel things, and we're using really not a lot of memory here. So that's basically the system without Samba. As you can see, I'm running a time server because this thing doesn't have a hardware clock that will keep over reboots. There's a couple of other system things, SSH daemon, so I can log in because I don't have a serial interface. And it comes down to little less than 12 megabytes of RAM being used, which leaves me with around 500 megabytes of RAM to play with. So actually, it's a pretty decent system. Now, if we start up named, and then start up Samba, takes a while. No, I'm pretty much running the vanilla system. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, no, I really just got it last week and I didn't play with it much. I think most of my problems I see during compile, at least, is I/O bound because I have cheap SD cards. Okay, so hang on. So while Samba is running, I set it up to run in the foreground, so let's connect to it again. Okay, so we're in, and now we're using a bit more RAM. Oh, come on. As you can see, the box is really busy now. So ignore the Python. That's just something that Samba runs during startup. Once Samba is done with the startup, the memory usage of that will go down. But what you can see is basically we have a couple of SMBDs sticking around, taking up around 25 megabytes of RAM. Then we have the main Samba daemon also taking up around 25. And then we have named, which takes another 30, which was one of the reasons why I started using the internal server on smaller embedded systems. On this box, I pretty much don't care because 512 megs is plenty. But you can also see that if you need to scale with more SMBDs, this is eventually going to bite you at some point, so you probably don't want to serve thousands of machines with this box. I mean, arguably, you probably don't want to do that anyway. Okay, so let's get started and actually check what's going on here. And dig for a record. No, actually, let me check for that one. At some point, I should take a smaller name for that. So, oh, okay, I forgot to delete it. So as you can see, there's now, there's a text record saying hello world for my world bind demo DNS entry. So let's just delete that using Samba tool. I never can remember. Wrong box. So Samba tool basically is the Samba 4 code base version of the net tool, but we couldn't call two things net. It works the same way, so you basically build up commands as you go. And they're all structured the same way, so. Oh, thanks. So you have to provide a server IP address or name. And the zone, yeah, right, so it's bind demo. And the name of the record, which is world, and all of that stuff. And I think the type of the record. So nope. Oh, the data. So this is going to be tricky. I don't think it's going to work. Oh, yeah. But this is not going to work, I bet. Oh. Ah, sure. I used to use secret, but now the stupid new password policies actually stop me from doing it. So single quotes around the double quotes? Yeah, possibly, but I'm pretty sure that. Okay, so if that doesn't work, we'll just switch on to the GUI thing and delete it on the GUI, because that works. Oh, no, that works. Yay, cool. Okay, so I have to try with the double quotes. But funnily enough, the double quotes are removed once you're on the DNS protocol. So let's go back, do the dig again. So we don't find anything, which is good. So we get the NX domain here. And let's go and add it again. So let me just leave out those quotes because that's what I tried. So you do pretty much the same thing, just with add instead of delete. Well, sure. So now this is what I would expect. So I'm on the shell, and I want to add something that has a space in it. So I add double quotes around it and run the command. And then if we go to and run the dig again, we will see that I nicely get two records, one saying hello, one saying world. So I'm Italian. I had a couple of discussions about this. And you will see in a moment when we switch to the bind machine, to the Samba internal DNS machine, that we're handling it a bit differently. But of course, what we actually want to have, so let me just start a Windows machine and try it there. So let's connect to the server. Nicely enough, my passwords happen to match up, so there we are. So here's the zone, and here's the world record. And as you can see, it happens to be two different entries. So let's fix it up. And now that we're done here, okay, let's do the dig again. And now we're getting the result back that we actually were expecting to get. Thanks. And everything works. So I just realized I forgot to hook up my power, and I'm running out, and I don't want to crash the little embedded machine, so let me just. The nice part about the embedded boxes is that you can actually provide power from your USB port, but still the laptop needs power. Too bad. I got so used to not having to attach power cords. So, okay, so let's go back and shut down the box, because I actually want to demo the other thing. So, okay, we're off, and let's swap machines. And start again. Okay. So I don't want SSH to think I'm getting hacked. But there we are, back again. So as you can see, similar setup, nothing much running, and again, roughly 12 megabytes of RAM used. So nothing in my sleeves here. Let me check the date. Okay. So starting up Samba again, this time not starting up Bind because I don't need it. And if we look at the memory again, there's probably a couple of Python scripts running. So it's a bit less here, but comes down to roughly the same. So if we ignore that, you can see that now, obviously, we're only running the SMB processes. I'm not sure why we have one SMBD less. I'm always seeing that, but it doesn't make too much of a difference anyway. The libraries are shared. So let's go back and do our query. And again, I'm getting a no error. That's interesting. But the record doesn't exist, obviously. Thanks. And let's just do the Samba tool add so I can show the funny thing I was seeing. I'm sure I got it here somewhere. Okay, so Samba tool add with the hello world, double quotes, no single quotes around the double quotes. And what I'm actually seeing once this is added is, oh, that's weird. Oh, sure, obviously, not going to work. There we go. So this time I have quotes in there. I'm not sure why exactly this is happening, but apparently funny stuff is going on. So apparently we're sending the quotes, and Bind decides to discard them, and I'm trying to ignore them, but, no, okay, so I'm running a bit short on time, so let's skip to that part. But if you're interested, it's not in the MMC, so you don't see any quotes in the MMC. Go figure. Anyway, back to the presentation, and let me talk a bit about the future. So we had the demo. So obviously, there's a couple of bugs in the internal DNS that I already mentioned. So the MX records, the tsig updates, we have to work on that. We have to extend the DNS client library that we're using to go out and do recursive queries, because currently we don't know how to fall back to TCP once packets get too big for UDP, which is a bit annoying if you try to look up, I don't know, isc.org or something, some big records that have, I don't know, DNSSEC or anything like that. For Bind DLZ, I mean, Amitai probably will have more on that, but as far as I'm aware, we're pretty much feature complete. There might be bugs in there. I'm not aware of current issues, apart from maybe that TXT thing, who knows. But that, I think that's in Samba tool. And then some words about Bind 10. But let's just skip over that. It's a framework, so it doesn't really work the way you expect. The current release has no production quality caching resolver either, so you probably don't have much advantage over using the internal server, but we're pretty much all sure it's web scale. So thanks for your attention, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Well, unfortunately, we only have time for one really short question. Can anyone provide one really short question? Oh, you made them speechless.
Oh, well, fair enough.
One question.
Let me give you the microphone. I think I found the MX problem, the MX bug.
Oh, great. Brilliant. So it actually helps to complain to other people while being here and get your bugs fixed. That works. On that note, I will also be here until Friday late afternoon. So if you have any questions and you are at the bar camp, just come hunt me down, and I'm happy to explain all sorts of things DNS to you, at least as far as I can explain them.